This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. A jam-packed 2 hours ahead. Can't wait. But Michael, first and foremost, I always want to say good morning to you. Good afternoon out there on the East Coast. How are we doing today?
Yeah, we're good. And I want to ask you, where are you now? We are July the 2nd. Where are you in the hot dog eating contest? Have you narrowed down your list?
It's funny you ask that. I was doing some research this morning.
I do
feel good about where we sit with the top three competitors. Jeffrey Esper, a very worthy favorite at minus 120 after coming in second each of the last 3 years to Joey Chestnut. I think he might be the play, but there are some plus money options out there, Michael. I appreciate the ask. We are about, 48 hours away now?
Yeah, weather's not going to be a factor like last year. Remember, we had the rain delay last year, which is shocking for a hot dog eating contest. They couldn't put umbrellas up there or tents. But anyway, nonetheless, weather seems like it's going to be perfect. It'll be a good day for eating dogs.
No doubt about it.
And I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
No. What's your over-under for hot dogs in one sitting? If you were really, really trying, where do you think you could go?
I want the bread with it. I'm an Italian. I want the bread. I'm not going to just eat the dog. I mean, got to have the bread. I got to put all sorts of things on it too. If I just ate a straight, like you go to a ballpark. Here's a good test. You go to the ballpark and you buy those dogs that have been steamed and the bread is almost, it's almost like when you're at a cocktail party and you get pigs in a blanket. You know, I could eat about 80 of those, right? Because it's like, it's all kind of pushed together. It's all like perfect, right? You don't even need mustard or ketchup. I could keep about 5 of those. But if you go into the more, you know, the yuppie kind of like, I'm going to put relish, I'm going to put onion, I got to put this and that, bada bing. You know, I probably eat 2 maybe. I mean, I'm a fat guy, Stormy. I'm gonna eat as much as I can.
That's like the one thing that's painful.
I'm not going to get sent home.
The one thing that's painful about watching the hot dog eating contest for me is because I love hot dogs. I like to enjoy them. Them dipping it in the water or the whatever that like red fruit punch consistency thing is. That makes me sad for the hot dog part of it because I enjoy them. But to your point about the pigs in a blanket, you can, especially the tiny ones, you could pop like 20 of those without even counting or realizing how many
easy.
You're doing.
Like, you know, when they come out with it, when the guy or the girl's got him on a butler, like, don't even move. Stay right here. Here. I'll give you a tip. Stay here. Don't go anywhere else. You don't need to give anybody. Just leave the tray right here.
No doubt about it. That's a good tease, by the way, for the end of the show. We're going to get into this week's edition of Lombardi's List is our top 5 things that we love doing and love partaking in for the 4th of July. We'll also get into some NBA news and notes with Bobby Marks in Hour 2, ESPN NBA insider, former executive. We'll have Will Hill on the show, VSiN Steve Mackinnon, get into some trends and compare and contrast your executive style with the analytics and numbers that Steve Mackinnon has put together at the end of this hour. Really good stuff coming up, but we got to start in the NBA, Michael. A couple more big name players with new deals after we got off of the air yesterday. Most notably, of course, Jason Tatum, who has secured the largest deal in NBA history, leapfrogging only his teammate in Jaylen Brown, who got his deal done last year. 5 years, $314 million on the Supermax extension for Tatum, who just wrapped up his 7th NBA season with an NBA title.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it comes on the heels of the owner saying, I'm selling, okay? It couldn't be a better time. I mean, everybody's making money. I feel bad for the next owner coming in because everybody's getting paid, and he's going to have to pay up to wear the Celtics colors. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what this franchise get. Again, why are NBA teams for sale? It's kind of fascinating, right? You know, we saw that, you know, the Mavericks sold and to the Alderson family out of Las Vegas. They want to build some kind of casino. Maybe that's what they want to do with the Celtics as well. We'll see, but it'll be interesting to see what the price is. But look, in Boston, everybody's getting paid and well-deserved. You win a title, you know, the best player on the team, he's obviously gets rewarded with a huge contract, and this is what the collective bargaining agreement doing. Everybody else who's waiting, I'm sure Mr. Embiid's waiting. Everybody's waiting for their new deal, right?
Yeah, and we all knew this was coming for Jason Tatum. They also yesterday extended Derek White for 4 more years, $125.9 million, his 30th birthday today. So that's a nice little birthday present to have in the bank. The Celtics starting five, speaking of prices, will get very expensive, not only next year, but in future seasons. In 2025-26 alone, the combination of contracts for Tatum, Brown, White, Holiday, and Kristaps Porzingis will total just shy of $200 million. So again, I think that'll be a good conversation with Bobby Marks when we have him coming up in hour two. The Celtics, of course, favorites to repeat, winning yet another NBA title at plus 295 and favorites in the East at plus 150. Super short numbers on the Celtics. Also, Donovan Mitchell running it back in the land. He and the Cleveland Cavaliers agree to a three-year, $150.3 million extension. And, you know, good for the Cavs locking this in for him. Stability for their franchise player following what is a new head coach in Kenny Atkinson, who joins the crew.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody, it's payday in the NBA. There's money flying around. Yeah. The 76ers, you know, the Dallas Mavericks giving $50 million to Clay. You know, it's interesting to see what the Warriors are going to do now, right? What will they do? Some of the teams that haven't spent as much money, you know, there's still – it's one thing about the NBA. It's that fast and furious couple things, and then all of a sudden it just quiets down. We'll see if there's any more trades coming. But paydays have been abound for a lot of players. It's kind of rewarding. I mean, they're getting the new CBA – not the new CBA. It's going to be interesting to ask Bobby about this second threshold, what it implies. We saw the memo released by – Steve Ballmer and the Clippers about why they didn't re-sign George, and a lot to do with the threshold and the new cap agreement, or the way the cap structure is going to be. Then you see the Celtics, which are clearly going to have to pay a huge amount in luxury taxes based on these contracts.
We'll continue to keep tabs on all things NBA free agency, but we do have some fun headlines in the National Football League I want to get your opinion on as well. Yeah. Let's hit it with news or noise.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Well, it's no secret, Michael. This offseason brought in a wave of new wide receiver contracts resetting the market. And guess what? Dolphin star Tyreek Hill wants in, especially after you see three players surpass what the on-paper number is for him at $30 million each year. Here's Hill with Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 Houston on the prospect of a new deal.
And I'm very excited to, like, you know, just be a part of, you know, the old wave, which was what, $30 million, and Justin Jefferson came and surpassed that, man. So very, you know, proud of those guys, you know, happy for obviously my teammate Waddle, you know, getting his new deal. For guys like me, that's great. You know, I'm 30 years old, you know, also looking for a new deal. So very, very excited to see where, you know, I fit in to like that category.
Right.
Pardon all the weights clinking around. Hill just finished a workout in Houston, apparently, when he got that interview done. But very, very excited to see where he fits in the wide receiver market. Michael, news or noise?
No, it's news. I mean, he wants a new deal to it. We know the way he strategically described what's going on in his contract, when he used the verbiage, the market is the market. And clearly that's coming from Lee Steinberg, his agent, to let the American public know that he's getting a below the market deal offer from the Miami Dolphins. So they're going to have to juggle these two balls in the air. There's no question. They're going to have to figure it out. And Steve Ross, the owner, is going to have to do it. But this is clearly news, Stormy. He wants a new deal. And he is a guy. This is a little bit like, you know, when you get, it's a little bit like what pissed off Klay Thompson of the Wash of the Golden State. You know, they went ahead and gave Jordan Peele a new deal, right? Then they went ahead and gave a new deal to, and they brought Chris Paul in. They bring Chris Paul in, right? And then they do a new deal with Draymond. And so, like, all of a sudden, when am I getting my deal? And that's what he was saying to people during the season. When do I get my deal? And then they didn't give him a deal. So as part of being a general manager, you have to strategically understand that, what effect does this have on the locker room if I do something? And they're going to have to justify. I don't think it's going to be a problem for him, too, because I think Miami is fully well aware about the the value that he brings, and without him, they would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, first team All-Pro back-to-back years in Miami, most recently led the league with just shy of 1,800 yards. The NFL offseason also equals, in my opinion, the I'm so healthy video season, and a video has gone viral of Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson not only like throwing the ball and looking like he's in great shape, but check out this dunk. Ooh! Unbelievable. He's just saying, oh, I had shoulder surgery that kept me out of 12 games. No big deal. I'm back, baby. As you look at Anthony Richardson here, news or noise, Michael?
Well, I think it's news for sure. Look, you know, the one thing when you watch him in the video here, and it's a great video to watch, he is clearly a thrower. It's no struggle. The ball comes off his hand. It comes out in rhythm. His feet and his arm are tied together. Now, he's got other issues in terms of timing and reading and all those things. But you could tell, Chris Ballard, we had him on the podcast, and he talked about a natural thrower. It's different. Like Milroe at Alabama can throw the ball a mile, but I don't know if he's a natural thrower, right? Certain guys can throw it, but they're not natural. This kid's a natural thrower. That's what jumps out to you. When I first saw him, I thought, this guy's going to be the first pick in the draft because he was big and he's a natural thrower.
6-1 in the comeback player of the year odds, 30-1. One of those longer sleeper shot MVP odds there as well. I was looking at the rushing yards numbers, though, for Anthony Richardson. 550 and a half rush yards. The rushing touchdowns prop set at 7.5. He had 136 yards and 4 rushing touchdowns last season in just 4 games. Do those seem a little low to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think the rushing yards particularly, like, he's going to gain this. He's going to have big – I mean, it's hard. You know, it's one thing on a blackboard. Okay, we're going to keep him in the pocket. It's another thing doing it. I mean, he's a big man. I mean, this is like Cam Newton. This is Josh Allen-ish. Mm-hmm.
The Colts are certainly a team that people think highly of this season. We'll see if ultimately Elliott's squad can get where they want to go. Okay, that was a good addition to News or Noise. It was a short-lived News or Noise. We got a few more topics that we can get to potentially a little bit later on in the show. But when we come back, we do have to talk a little bit more of our NFL betting guide. Yesterday, we dove into some of our division predictions for the NFC and AFC. But all 21 of our VSiN hosts, experts, NFL analysts, they weighed in on what they think is going to happen. We'll see what Michael thinks about a number of these predictions and a whole lot more when we come back on the Lombardi Line. We're just getting started, guys. Stay with us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is over. Our VSiN NFL betting guide is out now. There's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. Plus, our experts, of course, share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need ahead of the year. To get the guide, though, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And for a limited time, you can get our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, usually $240 for the year. You can subscribe right now for just $199 when you use our promo code Lombardi. And when you use that code, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, in addition to the guides, the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and a whole lot more. Don't miss out. Become a subscriber today. VSiN.com/subscribe. And again, if you want the discount and the extra month, you need to use our promo code Lombardi. And it is so worthwhile. We have been going through, since it was released last Thursday, Michael, a bunch of the different articles and things that you can dive into in the guide. And something that I think is just so great for a quick reference. Page 5 of the guide has the full predictions breakdown from each of our hosts and NFL analysts. If you want to see who they picked for each division, who they've got in the conference championship, wild card predictions, Super Bowl predictions, it's all right there laid out across the board, all 21 of us who contributed to this guide. And yesterday, you and I went through our individual selections for the divisions. Today, I wanted to go through who the most popular picks were as we went through that grid. And we got to start with the AFC West here, Michael, because across the board, it's the Kansas City Chiefs winning the AFC West yet again for what would it be? 9 straight now. The lone dissenting opinion was Jonathan Von Tobel with the Los Angeles Chargers, who's a team that we're very high on as well. But it does feel like this is Kansas City's to lose once again in the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not enough evidence right now as we sit here in July, the early part of July, to say, okay, this is going to be the right thing to do is to pick the Chargers. There's a belief, but beliefs when you're doing stuff but predicated out 7 months later are hard to stick to. Now, look, you know, we all know there's a great margin of error here in this because typically 50% of the playoff teams don't return from the year from 1 year to the next. But we do know that the Chiefs will always be good because they have Patrick Mahomes. Who wants to bet against that guy? I mean, I don't. I don't love the Chiefs team. I think, you know, with the addition of losing Snead really affects them because now they have to move players around, you know, and they're going to try to see if they can find another cover corner. Can they? I think all those things translate into we're not sure.
And it feels like, too, with Andy Reid as their head coach, though, in Kansas City, that they always find a way to adjust. So, yes, you have the Patrick Mahomes element to it where he's the best quarterback in football, bar none, and I don't think you're going to find many people that are going to disagree with you on that. Yeah. But what Andy Reid brings, I think, too, as a head coach is an important element of that. Kansas City, minus 230 in the AFC West, Chargers plus 320.
Stormy, that's a great point you make because I think you used the right word, adjust, because I think Andy Reid didn't know. A lot of these teams that we're talking about don't know what their teams will become until they actually start playing. And so it's very challenging to figure out how to adjust if you don't know what to adjust to. That Christmas Day loss by the Raiders forced Andy to make adjustments that he wasn't sure he needed to make up until he got humiliated on national television on Christmas Day. So that's a great call by you because I think that's the hardest thing for most teams is to understand who they are and how do they adjust to it.
Yeah, and they were a different team from that point on, obviously went on to win a second straight Super Bowl. And a lot of people in this guide, a handful of them, think that Kansas City could make history as the first team to three-peat as Super Bowl champs. So 20 of our 21 experts picked them to win the AFC West. 20 of 21 also selected another large odds-on favorite in the division, San Francisco, to come through and win the NFC West. Again, a situation where there's one lone wolf. This time around, it's Adam Burke, and he chose the Los Angeles Rams. I found this particularly interesting because in your picks, Michael, the Rams weren't even a playoff team for you this year. If you were picking another team from the NFC West, you were given a little bit of an edge to the Seattle Seahawks. So what do you make of Adam Burke's pick there as the lone dissenting opinion in the NFC West?
Well, I think he's saying with his pick that Stafford stays healthy for all 17 games. Yeah. I'm saying with my pick, he doesn't. Okay. And that's really what it is. Because if I say he's healthy, I'm with Adam. And I think Adam would be with me if he wasn't healthy. Now, you could say that for a lot of teams in the league. Okay, I get that. But more so for the Rams than any team. And it's not Stetson Bennett. It won't be Garoppolo. They're in trouble. They've got to change a lot of things. We saw what happened to them last year. They didn't really have a backup quarterback last year. I mean, Brett Rippon played in Green Bay. So I think that's really what we're saying. You got to make a call on health of a player, right? And it's, you know, like obviously Buffalo's not as good a team if Josh Allen doesn't play, but the evidence supports that Josh Allen's going to play 17 games. It doesn't necessarily support that Matthew Stafford can at his age with the elbow and all the other concerns. And two, let's be clear, it's working behind the, there's two contracts that are working behind the scenes that we're not talking about that are going to play a big part once we get to camp in 2 weeks is what are the Raiders going to do with Devontae Adams? And what are the Rams going to do with Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, both of those contracts. The Adams one in particular, I haven't really heard anybody bringing up. But Stafford, this one has slowly started to gain a little bit more steam there that he wants a new deal, and understandably so. I do think slash hope that Matthew Stafford is able to stay healthy here. I like the addition that they made, bringing in Pro Bowl guard Jonah Jackson. They re-signed Kevin Dotson, who had a breakout year last season. Avila is able to move back to center. I'm hopeful that the offensive line can hold up and give Matthew Stafford a clean enough pocket for long enough that he can get the ball out to his playmakers, because we know they've got a lot of talent, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? Because this is a team you like. A lot of people are very high on them to win the division. Particularly 18 of our 21 experts have Philly winning the NFC West. Steve Mackinnon, Ben Wilson, and Tyler Shoemaker all go with the Cowboys. And the odds indicate as much too, Michael. Like, we see the correlation there between what we're from our experts and what we've seen from the public, where Philadelphia was around plus 140. They were the second shortest shot in the division. Then we saw the Eagles and Cowboys as co-favorites for a while. Now it's moved a lot in favor of Philadelphia here, who's even money, while the Cowboys are plus 150. So a 40 to 50 cent move on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how you can be enthused about Dallas, all right? You know, they're going to play two rookies at their offensive line. They lost five road games last year. You know, when you do that, you're worried about winning on the road. You haven't beaten a good team. You know, a lot of people are worried about, is Dak's contract going to affect him? Is McCarthy not having a – let's say McCarthy gets off to a bad start. Yeah. The pressure will be on. Do we want to replace him? New defensive system coming in with Mike Zimmer. Completely different system than what Dan Quinn was running. So, you know, we know CeeDee Lamb's already announced he's not coming to camp, even though he has a contract, right? So there's issues in Dallas that I think Jerry is just really going to be able to say – I don't know if Jerry is – saying it's a mulligan on the year. I don't think he's saying that, but it seems like the actions are that.
For Detroit, 15 of our 21 experts selected them to win the NFC North. Only Zach Cohen and Patrick Maher had a difference of opinion there. So 15 of the 21 selected Detroit. Then it was the Green Bay Packers, and only Zach Cohen and Patrick Maher even had the Bears making the playoffs, excuse me. So I thought that was interesting, considering all of the hype that there's been around Caleb Williams. Could the Chicago team be a team that goes over their win total, maybe is a double-digit win team? Only two of our experts have the Bears being a postseason team.
Yeah, I can't see that. That takes guts. That, you know, I couldn't go there. Like, I think you have to get good before you get great, right? I mean, the Lions got good in the second half of that season, you know, where they made their come. They got played better, and that carried over into their opening game against Kansas City last year. I got to see Chicago get good before they get great.
Three divisions here that are relatively even splits. For the AFC North, the Ravens and Bengals both were at 10-10. Mike Somich, the lone wolf that chose the Browns. For the AFC South, Houston had 9 selections, 8 with the Jags, 4 on the Colts. And then in the AFC East, 9 take Miami as the largest selection here, which I found interesting. The Jets had 7 picks, the Bills with 5, no rogue Patriots selectors there. But all of those, pretty split opinion on those divisions. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, it does for me. I mean, I can't. I mean, look, I said it's a dart division, the South. Both Souths to me are dart divisions. I really think that. You know, I think they're just throwing a dart up there. I don't know. I mean, you know, 15 people picked the Falcons. They have a lot more faith in the Falcons defense than I do. But and then the Houston Texans surprisingly only corralled 9 of our experts because, I mean, you know, they are going to be the hunted one. There's no question.
I still think one of my favorite parts about the guide is because you talk about the dart South and the NFC South in particular. Everybody's picking the Falcons. There's a couple of us that are on the Saints. I think you and I both happen to be two of those four, by the way, that are on New Orleans. But then one person chose a different team. Is it the Bucs or is it the Panthers? You would anticipate it's the Bucs, right? The team that's won 3 straight in the division. No, Wes Reynolds taking a shot on the Carolina Panthers. I appreciate the optimism. Hey, you're getting bang for your buck, certainly. And as much as I do believe in this Carolina team and them taking a step under Dave Canales, winning the division's a little bit much. No, a little steep.
Yeah, no question. We're rooting for them.
Absolutely. It's a fun exercise to do, and we will get into this a little bit more on the other side of the break as well with your and my wild card prediction. So, again, we went through the divisions yesterday for us personally, who we still have making the postseason, where there's some plus money opportunities on teams that Michael doesn't like to miss. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. We got best bets from our hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and betting news. Speaking of which, VSiN senior editor Zach Cohen is locked and loaded covering all things NBA free agency, some of the early winners and losers, and if we should be buying the hype around Paul George signing with the 76ers. Spoiler alert, Michael Lombardi does not think so. If you haven't hit up VSiN.com yet, though, you're missing out. Head to VSiN.com today and get everything we have to offer. Also at VSiN.com, the new NFL betting guide is out, 84 pages, jam-packed with all the need-to-know information ahead of this coming NFL season. We were talking last segment about the crew expert and analyst predictions. All 21 people letting their opinions be known. And Michael, yesterday we did our division prediction, so we figured today we could do our wild card teams as well. So in addition to the division winners, who we think can make the playoffs, let's start in the NFC, where yesterday, just to revisit who you had selected in the NFC East, the Eagles, the West, 49ers, North Lions, South Saints, and then your wild card predictions, the Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The glaring thing, first and foremost, you have two NFC South teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Neither of which.
I did that for a reason.
Neither of which the odds-on division favorite in the Atlanta Falcons. Take us through it.
Well, because I think it's an easy division. And usually, what usually happens in the month of October and November? We're complaining about the bad divisions are going to get two teams into the playoffs that don't belong. You know, last year, Pittsburgh got in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pittsburgh got in with no offense. They got in. It was the seventh seed becomes a little bit of a, what are they doing in there, right? You know, and so because of the easy schedule, because of the AFC, the NFC South, you know, battling back and forth, they could end up with it. I mean, the Bucs are good on defense. I don't think there's anybody questions that. Can Baker Mayfield play as well? I'm a big Seattle fan. I may be a little bit too far down that road. I think they're going to be improved. They won 9 games last year. And I think the Packers, even though they're playing in the North, I think they could take the Lions on. A lot of it, I'm disappointed in Aaron Jones not being on the team. I thought he was really good for him last year. But I also love Josh Jacobs, so Jacobs can certainly help them. So between that, I just think the price of the Seattle at plus 180 to make the playoffs is pretty good. And I thought the plus, and for the Bucs at plus 145, too. Yeah.
And the Saints, by the way, plus 340 to win that division. And the Falcons, they're a minus 240 favorite to make the playoffs. You can get 2-1 if you think that they miss and end up being held out. The Cowboys as well, another team noticeably absent from your NFC selections here. They're a minus 210 selection to make the postseason. Second shortest shot in the NFC East. Plus 170 to miss, though. Now, this goes back to what we were talking about not too long ago with the questions around Dak Prescott, his contract, a lame duck head coach in Mike McCarthy, a bunch of people on that staff that are on the last year of their contract. How do they live up to things? They tend to be a good regular season team, though. So that's the thing. That's the one sticking point where I still have, even though I have the Eagles winning the division, I still have the Cowboys as a playoff team, considering the talent that they do have, and that even when they, you know, proverbially don't do so well in the postseason, they do something in the bed there. They always seem to have a lot of wins. 3 straight 12-win seasons, right?
Well, look, I mean, the same logic I'm using to get the Bucs in, you can use for the Cowboys, because we know, we'll see tonight, I can't wait, we know that the Giants and Washington are kind of struggling, right? So that should be 4 wins for the good teams like Philadelphia and Dallas. And then you get 4 wins there out of, you know, now all of a sudden in the next 13 games, you know, to get to 9, all you have to do is win 5 games, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Think about it. You know, so that's the logic that you know, these wild card teams are probably going to have 9 wins, and they're going to have the right configuration of the tiebreakers. So I couldn't argue with you on that. At minus 210, you know, it's a pretty heavy price, but I think it's the right price based on what they've done the last 3 seasons.
Yeah, let it be known that's not the bet that I'm placing. I just think that they're going to make the playoffs. So that's the pick there in name only, not in actual value in name. The Packers, I'm with you there. I think that Green Bay makes the postseason as well. And then we talked about it last segment, but the Los Angeles Rams, this price has actually come down. They're around plus 120 to make the postseason. Now it's down to even money right now. And for me, I just feel like the Seahawks are still a little bit of a step away. I'm not sure that I'm buying fully in on Geno Smith with the step back he took last season. The Rams, for me, I am, like we said, I am betting on Matthew Stafford staying healthy. I am betting on that offensive line being better and standing tall. So I see the Rams making the playoffs again after they did last year, a 10-win season and a near wild card win in the first round. But, of course, the Lions got the better of that and ended up ultimately making the NFC championship. Let's go to the AFC.
You know, I won't argue with you on that, though. I won't argue with you on that. I really won't. I think that you're right. I think that they have a good chance. But the problem is, you know, and I – you know, you just hope he stays healthy, and I hope he does too. I really do.
In the AFC, your division winners were the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals, and Indianapolis Colts. And then as for the wild cards, you're going with the Baltimore Ravens, so two teams in from the north. The Los Angeles Chargers in the AFC West come through in Jim Harbaugh's first season making the playoffs. That's a plus 110 price. And you have the Ifers. So you are given a little love. The Jets aren't going to win the division for you. You're keeping the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. But the Jets at minus 160 to make the postseason, you think they get there?
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like with Rodgers, if he stays healthy, I'm counting on that. You know, I know it's a you're paying a minus 160 price. Well, the Ravens, I just feel like you can't ignore them, mm-hmm. right? You can't ignore that they're always going to be there at the end unless something happens to Lamar and they get injured. But I thought the Jets at 160, I think it is because, again, you know, using the same logic on the Bucs, I don't think New England's going to be very good, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Miami's, you know, they're 4-10 the last 14 games of the last two seasons. The last seven games each of the last 2 years, they've won four and lost 10.
I have Miami making the postseason. I'm with you on Buffalo winning the division there. It's hard. There are so many elements about Miami that makes me not a believer in them in the long term. Just like last year, how they were in prime position to win the AFC East and couldn't hold on because of exactly what you just referenced, the way things fell apart the back end of the season. I feel like they should be good enough, though, to make the playoffs again. It's a tough one, but minus 155, I think that those odds are right. I also have the Ravens winning the North and the Bengals making the playoffs, as well as the Chargers. So a lot of similar names for us, with the exception of the AFC South, where you have the Colts winning that division. I have the Texans. You have the Texans to miss the playoffs altogether, despite them being the favorite in that division, plus 150 that price.
Yeah, I just look at some point. Somebody who made it last year is going to make it. And I think when you get to that first place schedule, it becomes harder, right? It just does. And I feel like, I don't know who to pick to win the South. I had the Colts, but I wasn't sure there's going to be another team in there. I think they're all going to beat up on each other. I'm not throwing darts on the board twice in one division, I can tell you that.
Very fair point. No doubt about it. The Dolphins, by the way, I forgot to give you that price. Plus 120 for Miami to miss the postseason. Plus 150 again for the Texans to miss as well. Neither of us have the Jacksonville Jaguars as a postseason team. The odds indicate as much as well. Plus 130 to make the postseason, minus 155 to miss. This coming off of a year, though, Michael, where they entered last season as an odds-on favorite. It seemed like they were going to be the clear-cut winner in the division. Had a great start to the season. I want to say 8-3 before just the wheels totally came off the bus late in the year.
Well, they got to stay healthy. I think what we learned now is that Trevor Lawrence wasn't practicing very much late in the year last year, missed all the practice, turned the ball over way too much. You know, they couldn't get control of the defense, and they fired Mike Caldwell, the defense coordinator, hired Ryan Nielsen, who did a wonderful job at Atlanta last year. So maybe that'll make them better. But I think the question we keep asking ourselves around here is, Jacksonville really improved? I think I'm not sure they have. You know, I think ATN's a fabulous running back, but I think they need someone else. I think they need a power back. Will they call enough runs? And Lawrence has been turnover prone, and he's not been able to take the hits as a quarterback and keep on ticking.
Yeah, when you add in the fumbles that he had last year, ended up being the most turnover-prone quarterback in the entire National Football League. Last thing here, with the AFC North, I mentioned earlier Mike Somich was the lone person in our betting guide that did not select either the Ravens or the Bengals to win the division. He chose the Browns. The Browns are plus 150 to make the postseason, minus 185 to miss. The Steelers plus 185 to make the postseason, minus 235 to miss. We know the back end of that schedule is a bear for Pittsburgh. But either one of those teams, I mean, the Steelers, nobody expected Pittsburgh to make the playoffs last year. Nobody expected the Browns when they lost Deshaun Watson midway through the season to get to where they did. Any shot at either one of those teams at a plus money price?
You know, that's a hard one. I think... You know, they always go back and forth on this. Now I'm going back. I know. Which one would you go with? I mean, take all of them at plus money.
See, yeah, I struggle with it because I don't know if I am a believer that Deshaun Watson has the capability to get back to, you know, even 80% of the guy that he was a few years ago. I just don't know. But the Browns were so good without him that if that defense continues to be really good and if the defense plays on the road like they did at home, then they should be able to overcome mediocre quarterback play. I don't know. It would be the Browns over the Steelers, though, for me.
Yeah, that would be the Browns.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new NFL betting guide. This year, jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including, of course, in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best future bets from our VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards markets. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to making smarter, more informed bets. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get your copy now of our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. And a key contributor to this year's 84-page NFL betting guide, Steve Mackinnon joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, our VSiN analytics expert. And Steve, we've gone through and we've pulled, a number of the trends that we found were really interesting and impactful. But I wonder for you personally, as somebody who is putting together all of this data and making sense of it all, was there any specific trend that you found particularly interesting or immediately said, oh wow, that's going to be actionable, that stood out to you personally?
Yeah, I tell you what, Stormy. Well, hey, Michael, it's been a long time. Nice to see you. Nice to be with you guys.
Steve.
The thing that really stood out to me, and I had to double, triple, maybe even quadruple check this, is the trend of what I call retread coaches, so that are veteran coaches that have coached another place, come into a new team and taken over a new franchise as favorites. They are a 32.3% cover over the last decade. So you do not want to lay points with these new retread head coaches. Now, in this case, we're talking about Jim Harbaugh. We're talking about Dan Quinn in Washington. And we're talking about Raheem Morris in Atlanta. That is three teams you're not going to want to lay points with this year if these trends hold tight this year.
Now, is that for the opener or is that for the entire season, Steve?
That's for the entire season. Now, you think about maybe some of the foundation behind this. When you're naming a guy like this coach, typically I think it was like 18 of the 24 were taking over teams that were sort of in bad shape. So they're taking over teams now. They think maybe this guy is going to be enough to repair this team. They start putting lines out to the favorite, but they the basic fact that this was a bad team last year and maybe shouldn't be laying points no matter who is coaching.
Michael, you and Steve both wrote articles that are the same concept but different. We're talking about the new and rookie head coaches. You're obviously from a more executive standpoint, and Steve from a numbers and analytics standpoint. Was there anything that, like, Steve, even you took away from Michael's article, or Michael that you took away from Steve's? And Steve, I'll start with you. As you were going through the numbers, where there was overlap, were things that particularly stood out?
Well, in reading Michael's things, they come from a standpoint of he knows what these teams are looking for, maybe foundationally. Now, that doesn't always translate into numbers. They may not be looking for immediate improvement. Now, what I was looking for in my article is what's going to happen this season, this first season that these guys are taking over. So you talk about a guy like Mike McCarthy. Obviously, he's coming off 12 wins type of seasons, but maybe he wasn't so good his first year with the Cowboys, and kind of he was very maligned that season, if you want to call it his first year. So I'm looking for these first year numbers where we can take advantage as bettors, where we can beat spreads with these guys taking over these first seasons.
Yeah, and I like what Steve, when he look at it, these like his trend number one from the article, 10 years, 40 first time head coaches spent their full time. And the next thing you know, 25 have led their team to 26 have led their to improve records. That's an improvement of 2 wins per season for a rookie head coaches. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying with that is kind of what you see is if the guy doesn't bring you an initial spark, right? Like there's a reason he got hired, right? He offers something that the guy that got fired couldn't do, improve the defense or improve the offense. And I think the case of Seattle is the perfect one for me is he comes in and he improves the defense, which was horrendous last year. The one that's harder for me is Atlanta. What does Raheem Morris improve on a defense that I thought was as well coached as it could be? So that there lies the difference. But I think these trends, you know, are important to understand and kind of just look at it. Now, you use them. It's like a slice of a pie, right, Steve? You're not going to go all the way down the road, but I think it's some cautionary tale here.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you talk about these teams taking over bad defenses. Now, there's a lot of bad offensive coaches teams that were bad offensively that hired rookie coaches. Now, that's going to be an interesting segment to follow, too, like Canales at Carolina. Atrocious offense last year. Jared Mayo in New England, there's a lot of work to be done there offensively. And when you look at a stat like maybe they improve by average of 2 wins per season, they're coming from a lot of cases where there were 2 wins last year or 4 wins last year. So that 2-win improvement gives you that spark, which you mentioned, maybe to head to the next season, the season after that, where they become playoff caliber again.
One of my favorite trends, Steve, and Steve Mackinnon joining us here, VSiN analytics expert on the Progressive guest line, the rookie quarterbacks trend, going through that article for you, I've listed this out on our shows probably 3 times since the guide has come out because I think that it's so interesting that rookie QBs have struggled early on in season. 2-18-1 straight up, 5-15-1 against the spread in their last 21 weeks, 1-3 games. And you mentioned the unders as well tend to be a trend there. But like even last year, for example, CJ Stroud, who goes on to have this awesome rookie season, he was a slow starter. And that's a trend that I think is actionable early on in this season, especially where you have a couple of the all three of these rookie quarterbacks that we presume to be immediate starters with 2 of their first 3 games on the road as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Stormy. That's a perfect thing to point out from the article, because most of these times these guys are taking over teams that were not good offensively, or you wouldn't have changed a quarterback. You know what I mean? And then you figure you add that under trend, which you mentioned to it. You're looking at a lot of games that are low scoring. The team's not going to produce offensively, so they don't come out. Now, CJ Stroud's season last year, in terms of rookie quarterbacks, was an outlier. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go back probably since the days of Russell Wilson. I think on my chart you'll see as rookie quarterbacks, there's only been about 5 of 35 or 40 guys that have really done well.
So, Steve, one thing I love about reading your stuff is it kind of gives me a dose of reality. So I live here in Philadelphia, and they've had the parade already for the Super Bowl champion Eagles this season. Of course, they're having another parade for the 76ers next week, so you don't have to worry about that. But Wawa's giving away free coffee all year for the Sixers. But the reality here is I think the Eagles are good. And you telling me they're going to be under 10.5, and I want to know why, because I think sometimes I get caught up in the Philadelphia's, you know, I kind of get into the wave of this a little bit, and I'd love to hear outside perspective.
Well, I mean, I think we got to be honest, this team died last year. Last half of the season, yeah. This was not the same team that everybody thought it would be.
You're going to get in trouble in Philly, Steve, is staying that. You'll get in trouble saying it. You don't have to say that, you know.
There's numbers to prove
it. I think the last 8 games,
they allowed 31 points a game. That was a really respected defense for the first half of the season. The team that got to the Super Bowl the prior season. How do they come back from that? I'm not saying they can't, but there were other issues, and it sounds like there's some internal issues with the team and a little bickering with stars. So how do you come back? Is Sirianni be ready to bring this team back to that level where they are a Super Bowl contender again?
You also have an article in the guide with your own season win total projections and comparing it to the market. I know last year you had some good success betting some of those market differences. Were there any other season win totals that you felt like there was an edge from your numbers to the sports books?
Well, I tell you what, I may be sort of alone in this, and Harbaugh has been ripped. I've read a lot of stuff, but I'm kind of behind the changes in Los Angeles this year with Harbaugh and in a different mentality. They're going to be more reliant on the run. They're going to be more reliant on what was a talented defense. Now, you take away that game they lost to the Raiders, 63 points, whatever they allowed. There were about a 17-point-per-game defense allowed in the second half. There's talent there. They have a little bit of different offensive mindset where not everything is on Justin Herbert. I think they got a chance to be a lot better this season.
Michael, you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think he's, I don't necessarily always listen to what they say. you know, in the media, because I'm not sure they know what they're saying and they could change in a moment. But I think Harbaugh provides exactly what the Chargers needed. He was if I were to hire somebody, if I were to describe somebody that the Chargers needed, I would have described Jim Harbaugh.
Awesome. Steve, we so appreciate your time.
He's got a little Billy Martin in him. He's got a little Billy Martin in him, Steve. He can make every team a little bit better, and I think that he'll make them a lot better. And I think those two wins will go there. So, I'm behind it. And, yes, we appreciate your time, Steve.
Yeah.
Stormy's right.
You put in so much awesome information, time, effort. We're so appreciative. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Steve. Guys. Thanks for having me today.
You can follow Steve on X as well, at Steve Mackinnon. And, of course, a number of excellent write-ups in the NFL betting guide and throughout the NFL season on VSiN.com. We'll be right back.